Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be out of the world and into the kingdom? Hallelujah. Praise God. Next person that does isn't going to get hit with a Bible. Hallelujah. Bam! With the word, you know? You know, as coming out of the world, one of the things we begin to realize that the things that we used to do that we thought were just common, being in the world. Because when you live according to the world, you live according to the rule of darkness. Not realizing that deception, of course, is what's ruling us. It leads us. We don't know. So we have all kinds of emotions. Oh. We have all kinds of emotions and weird imaginations and hopes and dreams of things that and goals that we want to accomplish when we're in the world. In fact, we're willing to go through great lengths to accomplish those things, even in the area of manipulation, using people, in the area of justification, where we're actually justifying what we're doing because it's an access of our own means. But when we come out of the world, these are things that we must begin to recognize. You know, there's a teaching called Stop Justifying and Start Recognizing. And I encourage you to review that at some time. But there's a whole factor around justification, and that's something that the Spirit had brought to me tonight. And it's called justification factor. And in Acts chapter 17, in verse 22, Acts 17 and verse 22. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Acts 17, 22, let's speak it together. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard that the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. Again, there's something very powerful here. We see that Paul came across these individuals, and he began to realize that they began to justify themselves by object worship. They justify themselves because they were worshiping an object. So there was this form. As they worshiped this object or objects, they were worshiping the unknown God, but they didn't even know him. Because if they would have known him, they would have repented. See, so all of their worship, they were justified themselves by object worship. In other words, they judge themselves as religious, spiritual people without repentance. But with object worship, this is self justification, and it has no value whatsoever. None. No meaning, no value, no acknowledgement of the Creator. In Romans chapter 1, Romans 1 and 16, the justification factor. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who what? And what's believe mean? Follow. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse or justification. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So it says here that the just live by faith. The just are those who are justified by the price of Jesus Christ. In other words, we are justified by his price. That's why they're called the just. That's why we are justified by the price of Jesus Christ. And we are justified not only by the price of Jesus Christ, but the righteousness of God, because he was the manifested righteousness of God. So all those who are willing to follow him in this are justified. But there's an area where people are trying to justify themselves. Self-justification is a flawed belief system that implies a decision based on a self-willed excuse. Does everybody get this? Self-justification is a flawed belief system that implies a decision based on a self-willed excuses of following righteousness or the right way. So they're choosing not to follow righteousness. They're choosing not to follow the right way. So what they do is, this is where the enemy comes in, and this is where you and I must discern the area that, who we're hearing from. Who told me this? One of the things he always wants to implement is a self-justification or an excuse. It's an excuse. What's the excuse to? It causes an individual to justify themselves or even reason in the wrong direction. Again, so this self-justification, which is a flawed belief system, and what it does is it makes decisions based on the self-willed excuses. Self-willed excuses. So they're choosing not to do or follow the righteousness or follow the right way, but they're willing to do the things based on their self-agenda instead of kingdom principles. Is everybody okay? And this is one of the ploys of the enemy. And we've got to begin to constantly recognize these things. You know, you think about how many times you've made a decision and boy, did you reason. And when you knew, actually you knew what the right decision was, but you justified it. Well, you know, this man, you know, what you were doing is actually making excuses because it was called self-justification. See, because we have a tendency to get what we want instead of what God wants. And that's why the formula to this overcoming is deny yourself. He says, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. See, and again, what will happen is even a self-justification in this where we have excuses, many times people will walk in assumption because they use that assumption as an excuse. Well, I assumed. Well, that's an excuse, but it's a self-justified excuse. Does everybody get this? See, this is a ploy of the enemy. He wants to get us into a place because reasoning is the guillotine of faith. So he knows that if he can bring you to you to try to convince you to reason or justify, make that excuse of to not follow the righteousness or the kingdom principles, but to implement your self agenda compared to his, we fall out of rank. We fall out of divine order. And he knows that. Remember, his main purpose is to come to steal, kill, and destroy. He can't do that if you're in divine order. He tries to put things in our path to move us out of position, doesn't he? I mean, positioning is the key. And one of the keys to staying in position is to be consistent. Consistent at what? Keeping kingdom principles. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 15. John 15. In verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me because it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world really does hate you. One of the things the enemy tries to do is to get you to become a man pleaser in the arena where the world loves you and the kingdom loves you. That's compromise. Now, there's an area where you all have favor with men because you please God. But there's an area where people are still trying to please the world, but the world really hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have what? No sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, in other words, they knew what is right. They knew what's right. They knew what the right thing to do. But they refused to accept righteousness and make excuses of self-justification by false reasoning. In Luke 18. Luke 18. Again, one of the things the enemy wants to do is constantly drift you. He wants to get you in a drift mode. And he starts that by a compromise, a complacency, a self-justification, a reason, excuse. You know, when we really begin to look at the things that we battle for in the world and put time to in the world, compare that to the things that we do for the kingdom, there must be a balance there. Look at all the struggle. I mean, you know, when I was out in the world, man, I did everything I could for money. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money, but it, of course, the word says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So I put so much time into trying to make money because I wanted to retire at the age of 24. I actually did. I got sentenced to life in prison, praise God. It was the wrong end of retirement. I got 3 meals a day, and, well, sometimes. No. But anyways, so in that, my life was trying to be successful. My life was in the area of, and success at that time was having money, because we were implemented in that. We were brought up in that area. You got to be somebody. So all of these things that we fought for to try to be someone, when the whole time we were already someone, God was just waiting for us to step into his realm and us to step out of our realm. But there is that area where we still, as believers, step back into that realm. And it all starts with an excuse, a self-justification. And the next thing you know, you got 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Now you're concerned what people are thinking about you. Now you're concerned about, you begin to think about, concern more of the things of the world. That boldness you used to have becomes depleted. Now the only boldness you have is the self-boldness. to protect yourself instead of surrender yourself. See, things begin to change. Everything is in reverse between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. It's reverse. Amen? In Luke 18 and verse 9. And Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. Some who what? Trusted where? In themselves. That they were righteous. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Oh, yes. And despised others. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Now, I want you to understand something. The enemy knows this. So what he's going to try to do is trick you up to bring self-exaltation. If he can do that, he knows God will allow humbling to come. He who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be what? Exalted. Not justified. We're not justified by works, but by Christ. Not making excuses for unrighteousness, but recognizing we are nothing without Christ and only justified by his works, not ours. See, we have a tendency to try to justify ourselves by our works. Will I pray? Will I do this? Will I do that? First of all, you must always step back and who gave you that prayer? Who gave you the strength to pray? Does everybody get this? See, so many people are, well, I prayed that prayer and that's why this happened. Well, who gave you that prayer? See, that's where the enemy likes to trick us up. Remember, he's the most cunning beast created. His purpose is to bring self-exaltation, self-justification, resisting the counsel of the Lord, resisting what others will say in the body of Christ in the area of assistance and help. Oh, I know what. I got, this is what I got to, you know, this is, you know, I know what. Yeah, those are called excuses and self-justification. Romans 3. It leads to danger. It leads to wrong decisions. It leads to harm of not only yourself, but others. When a person falls into the self-justification, they're no longer looking at themselves as a witness of Christ. They don't no longer say, well, what would Jesus do? Or what decision I'm going to make, what kind of a ripple effect will it have? The only thing they care about is themselves. In Romans 3:19, let's read it together. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe or who follow. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. His grace is his plan, not ours. We are justified by his plan, not ours. Not assumption, not reasoning, not excuses, and not self-justification, but by his plan. Verse 25, whom God sent forth is propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. Does everybody see this? In other words, no fleshly acts or decisions holds any true justification in Christ if it's backed by the flesh. That's called self-justification. That's why those who are led by the Spirit are called what? Sons of God. There's a difference. And sometimes there's a fine line that we don't recognize, and we fall into that trap. And the next thing we know, we're backpedaling. We're not going forward. We're stagnant. In fact, we find ourselves going to circle again. How did I get back into this place? And sometimes you don't even realize it. But all of a sudden you begin to realize your lack of sensitivity to God's presence. Your lack of sensitivity to his conviction. That self-justification is building, because what it does is it makes you dull. And when it begins to make us dull, it's harder to hear, it's harder to see, and it's harder to receive. Because when things begin to make us dull, it's hardening the heart. Hallelujah. Again, no fleshly acts or decision holds any true justification in Christ. We are justified by those that follow his plan of denying ourselves, picking up the cross, and following him. In Romans 4, in verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Why? Because then it would have been self-justification. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes or follows on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Again, in this, we are justified by obeying, not by works, but by obeying. I want to share something that is revealing, and grab hold of this. Rebellion is a fruit of the excuse. Rebellion is a fruit of an excuse. Why? Because when we begin to excuse or look for excuse, we promote self-justification. And what will be the outcome of it? Rebellion. Rebellion is a fruit of excuse. In Galatians chapter 2. Most politicians are self-justification. They make all kinds of excuses why they do what they do or they didn't do it. Of course, I'd like to blame everybody else. That's also an excuse. Not willing to take responsibility. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 17. Let's speak it together. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. But if I build again those things which I destroyed. In other words, if you build on the things that God set you free from already, and I'll tell you here again, I make myself a what? Transgressor. Now listen, that means that you've acted on the sin again. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So we know that. In other words, if we build again on those things which we destroyed or God set us free from, we are going back, and this means going back to habits, attitudes, motives, rebellion, or self-justification, which is actually the act of sin. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Are you understanding this? Are you getting this? Anybody getting it? Hallelujah. You know, when a police officer pulls you over, the first thing you want to do is think of an excuse. Self-justification. Let me think. Nah, I got to be honest because the Lord's always before us. Amen. There's a difference. It's when people really who say they have a they don't have that relationship like they should. Because if you really have the relationship, self-justification will be an offense to you. It's an offense to you. Why? Because it's an offense to him. Hallelujah. Boy, it got real quiet in here. What's up, man? Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. In other words, if we willfully sin is associated with just self-justification. It's an excuse of turning. Has everybody got it? In other words, there's no longer a justified arena from God. In other words, you are no longer under his covering. Because you have self-justified yourself. So when you willfully sin, you are walking in the area of self-justification. You are making the excuse. The fruit of that excuse is rebellion. The association of sin and the act on it is called transgression. That means there's a broken covenant in some way. And there's no longer a covering. So you've walked out of God's justification for you. Amen? You walked out of his justification into self-justification, which can't do you any good or anyone else in this world. That's how the world lives, self-justification. Oh, I'm a good person. That's self-justification. I don't need Jesus. I'm a good person. That's self-justification. That's reason. That's excuse, isn't it? And the reason one of many times, because they don't want to be accountable. If they have to accept Jesus, then they got to be accountable to someone. See, people don't want to be accountable. That's why they run instead of fight. They're not willing to be accountable. The only accountability they want is to fulfill. They're accountable more to their feelings than they are to God. Ooh. It's a justification means to promote a self-agenda. Psalm 33. Man, we can hear a pin drop in here tonight. Hallelujah. Psalm 33 and verse 8. Let's read it. Let all the earth what? Fear the Lord. Reverence, honor, and respect. That's relationship. Where that is not implemented, there is not a relationship. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to what? Nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of what? No effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. In verse 18, look at there. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who what? Fear him, reverence, honor, and respect. Is there reverence, honor, and respect if there's self-justification? No, none whatsoever. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. In Psalm 37, in other words, they are completely dependent on the Lord no matter what, not self-dependent. Completely dependent. In verse 9, 37:9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who what? Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is vitally important. And let me tell you, there's always confirmation when you wait on the Lord. God never pushes us. He leads us. There's always a peace. There's no excuse. There's no justification. We wait on the Lord. He builds it. He opens it. You know, many times you don't even have to search it. Of course, you better have discernment on it because the enemy will bring things in your path to try to get you out of divine order. But waiting on the Lord is beautiful. It should be fun to wait on the Lord. Why? Because you know he's going to do something and you don't have to be concerned about it. And your life is nothing but waiting on the Lord. He loves to be waiting on. Why? Because we're waiting on him because we're dependent on him. And we know what the enemy does is try to get you to move so you don't wait on the Lord. Because if you can't wait on the Lord, God can't trust you. That's people who can't wait on the Lord is self-justification. There's always an excuse or a reason why. And if you recall, even King Saul wouldn't wait for Samuel to do the sacrifice. And he did, brought a curse on him. Waiting on the Lord is patience. It's endurance. Why? What are you enduring? You're enduring the denial of self. You're enduring the voice of the strangers trying to push you. And what are you earning? You're earning God's trust because you're waiting. Oh, man, I could go on that all night. Hallelujah. It says, evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight in themselves in abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just. Now, what are the just again? Those are the ones that have been justified by Christ and maintain that position of being justified by Christ, not self-justification. So when you see the word just, they're still in divine order being justified by what God's work. Does everybody get it? Not our work. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. What's he trying to do? Get you out of position. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright, of upright what? Conduct. What's he trying to do? He's trying to change your motive, your attitude. He's trying to get you to open that door again to self-righteousness, self-justification. Make an excuse of reason why you need to do what you need to do because it's about you and not about him. Hello? The wicked plots against the just every day. Go to Titus 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse 3. Titus 3, verse 3. You know when there's self-justification. You know. You know when that excuse is there. You know behind that excuse the enemy's pushing you out of position. You know it. But if you're agreeing with it, you're going to agree with his excuse. Verse 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his plan, his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the divisive man after the first and second admonish, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning and being what? Self-condemned. I want to say self-justified. We are justified by his plan, his grace, which allows us to become his heirs. Man, you know, do you ever think about it, that we are heirs of God Almighty? I think our peanut brain has a hard time with all that sometimes. But we are actually heirs of God Almighty. Proverbs 16, justification factor. So when we talk about stop justifying and start recognizing, it is really a true meaning. Stop justifying. Stop making excuses for what is righteous, what is right, and what is kingdom principles. You know, God doesn't interrupt himself. But the enemy will try to convince you that it's okay. Oh, it's okay. This is me. That's self-justification of pride. God does not interrupt himself. Never. Never seen him do it. When he says something, he does it. And he does it until it's completed. If there's an interruption, that ain't dead. That's the enemy. And you bit the bait. And I see it happen all the time. Proverbs 16. You know, when you really want to know, does God interrupt? That's a cool key to hold out before you. Does God interrupt himself? Does God interrupt himself? If you'll just hold on to that, it will resolve so many issues that you won't have to go into excuses, self-justification, or reasoning. I say, no. God doesn't interrupt himself. That's it. Well, God told me. No, he didn't. That's your soulish desire that's speaking louder than the voice of God. Psalm 16, verse 5. Proverbs 16, I'm sorry. Proverbs 16, verse 5. And I'm going to tell you something. If you can't get this, God can't trust you. He can't trust you. And one of the things that we want to do is earn the trust of the Lord. Let me tell you, when the Lord would send me somewhere, I didn't move until I was kicked out. Unless he specifically told me or whatever. He was either going to shut the place down, burn it down, or throw me out. Which I've been thrown out of multiple places. Why? Because I'm not going to stop. I know my dad doesn't interrupt himself, and there's a purpose and a meaning for that. But see, the enemy will slide in. Self-justification, reason, excuse. Well, it must be God's time. Look at it. God's time doesn't interrupt himself. God's time is his time. Why? Because it's his will. He doesn't change the time for me and you. Verse 5. Is everybody there? Everyone what? Proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. We need to begin to look at self-justification and excuses as evil. And we're to hate those things. Not pet them. Not carry them with your pocket. Not feed them. They're pocket monsters. They end up biting you. Look at verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his what? Steps. Praise God. And I'm going to close at Proverbs 15. I think we got enough of this. If you didn't get it, you're in trouble. But you can also review it on eternallibrary.org. Proverbs 15, verse 29. Let's speak it together. The heart. Anybody there? Come on, let's start this again. One, two, three. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eye rejoices the heart, and a good heart report makes the bones healthy. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the what? Wise. Because rebukes are also correction, aren't they? God chastens those he loves. He who disdains instructions despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's what he calls me and you to do. Why? That's trust. Stop fighting for our lives. Start surrendering them. You know, you might surrender part of it, but he wants all of it. All of it. Amen? Praise God. The justification factor. Let's expose it in our life. Let's be sensitive to it. And let it not become a compromise. Let's grab hold of this whole thing and begin to hate it. self-justification is deadly, tremendously deadly, and it'll cause people to go astray and walk in a trap of the enemy. And just because you walk in the trap of the enemy and step into that trap doesn't mean something happens today. It doesn't happen immediately when you step into the trap. Not that it can't. Usually he waits. He waits till he can gather more people around you. And once he gathers more people around you, it's like, I always call it like bass fishing with largemouth bass. You know, you put the shiner on the hook, and the bass, you know, the shiner's right in front of the big mouth of the bass, and it's going. So you got a hook in your jaw and don't even realize it. And you're going around telling how much Jesus has done for you. All of these things. Oh, yes, God this, God that. And the devil waits for you to gather more and more people. Why? Because he knows that when that fall comes, that ripple effect hits everyone. And when he sees that you've gathered enough people for his harvest, he pulls that hook, you blow it, and your example affects everyone that's associated with you. And it starts with self-justification. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, help us to spit the bait out of our mouth and pull the hook out of our jaw, that we may walk according to your will and not our own, that we'd be justified by only you and nothing that we've done. Expose all excuses, reasoning, and self-justification in our life, that we may trample the enemy and expose his wicked schemes to try to cause us to stumble. Lord, let this seed that's been imparted of this teaching of justification factor be a reality, that self-justification is evil. And may the blessings be upon your people who obey and follow you all the way in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Grow for it.